You know, I want to continue something. I just had a thought about the, in 06, the Lord taught me something. He said many times churches can't grow because the pastor have gotten instructed is in strife with the people because they don't tithe. And I said, well, I remember that scripture in James, I just quoted in the other part, but it says the word of God is sown in peace of them that make peace. And if you get in strife and don't deal with it, the people will detect it and they can't learn from you anymore. It'll be a terrible hindrance. Now watch what the Lord said here. He said, he's talking about the tongue. This whole, the flow of James 13, James chapter 3 is dealing with the tongue. He said, verse 11, doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either the vine figs? So, can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Then he said this, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This is something to be dealt with. That's why he said lie not against the truth. Deal with this problem. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Now, this is the problem with it. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, watch this part, verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. If your ministry is designed to thrive, but you have to live by the love of God. The love of God will help you in every way. The love of God in you will cause the anointing on your life to mount up. It will, and the love of God in you will cause you to receive revelation that will help you enter into greater glories. Now, all of this is attractive. So you don't need the hindrances of strife. It's beautiful when people tithe and give offerings and do things to help the church. And sometimes you know they can, or it seems like they can, and they don't. Love them as if they were your greatest contributor. Don't be moved by what you see. As people get built up, they'll give. If they fall in love with God, they'll give. And if they don't fall in love with God, God really don't want them to. He wants everybody to be obedient. But I know the Lord, he don't want things on false pretense either. If it's just like if somebody came to help me and if they believe in what I'm doing, fine. But if they got strings attached and ulterior motives, I don't want their help. That's how I'm just a man. Now, God love, he said obedience is better than sacrifice. People that don't love God, and you know, the people like when people give, they don't care whether they, sometimes people don't care whether they are have allegiance to God or not. If people give to my ministry, I want them to have the full benefit of it. If they don't believe in what I'm doing, it's all right with me if they don't help. If they want something dark, I've heard of people, they'll give if the pastor will tone it down a bit. You stepping on my toes, just tone it down. Now I tell you what, you keep that, you go get right with God. And then when you get right with God, then give. That's how I am. And I'll tell a man that to his face. I said it on the radio. I said, keep your money. I don't want your money if that's the way it is. But if you believe what I'm doing, fine. I fix these cars. I do what I have to do to pay the radio bill or any bill I have to. I'm going to ask God for what I need. He's going to supply me with what I need. There's no reason to be in strife. If people don't mean it when they say they love you, it's better that they don't. But that the thing, you can't control their choices. And some people are tares. So you have to take the high road. Now, this is the problem. Once you get in strife, you can't hide it. You have to deal with it. That's why I said, lie not against the truth. Some people are weak. They've been hurt. You don't know what happened to them that made them not want to tithe. Some are skeptical. Some people are just learning. Until they get to where they need to be, they can't be blessed for being tithe if they don't. But this is just an example. If the point is not to tithe, it's the strife. Deal with the strife. If you feel offended because of what people are not doing, you got to forgive them. You got to forgive them to the point it don't bother you anymore. Now, when it's a hard case, if it's hard for me to, when it was hard for me to forgive people a very long time ago, because I listened to wise men of God that taught faith, I forgave by faith. People that I was very angry with, I would forgive them by faith. I said it. And then, see, when you say the word of God, the roots grow deep. You're giving the roots of the word that's already there. Every time you speak the word and mean it, the roots of the word grow deep in you. And your resilience against evil fortifies. And you become to a point where you have relentless sincerity. And then you walk in a peace that's just, that you can cut with a knife. I mean, you can feel it all around you. It's thick. You wouldn't want to cut it with a knife, but I mean, you walk in a peace of God that's just there all the time. You can feel it. And you have the joy of the Lord. And you mount up. And it don't really matter what people don't do anymore. You're living from another realm that's not from around here. And you can laugh again. I want you to consider these things. There are times, in those days, people would preach. The church down the street was growing, and they wanted their church to grow. And the people wouldn't tithe. And it offended them. They can't do what they would normally do. They can't get a... It was hard for them to go get a job and do it, so they get frustrated. And then the church will stop growing. That's why the Lord told me these things. And I wanted to share this with a lot of people, but God restricted me. He said, no, tell my people. Tell people that are here. Whoever I lead you to, tell them. That was back in the time, in the day. He said, don't teach foolish pastors. People that are foolish in their way. They have a love for God. They do what they do the best they know, but when God tells them to do something, they do something else. So the Lord wanted his best knowledge to go to people who love him, who will cooperate. And that was the wisdom of God. It's just like Jesus raised up the Jewish nation to usher Jesus in to be a blessing to everybody. He gave the best knowledge to his people who are devoted to him. People that had relentless balance. That's who he told Isaiah to seal the word among my disciples. Disciples, not my people. He said my disciples. So even people who love God, God don't tell them everything It depends on their dedication, those that are disciplined. Jesus taught his disciples, he taught parables to everybody. But he only broke it down when they asked. What? You have to pay attention to how Jesus did things. He said to the 70 that returned, it was God's good pleasure to reveal these things to babes, sincere people that want to know him. These were not the kind of people he had to pump and prime. He just told them to go out and do the work of the ministry. They did it with gladness. They couldn't wait to serve God. Carrying either purse or script, God's going to take care of you. They just enjoyed the Lord like a child. And see, watch what Jesus said. That's Luke 10. I love Luke 10. It shows me something about my king. And see, when I know what he liked, then I'm going to do it myself. I know he likes something, I'm going to try to do it. I want let's start at verse 1. I want you to get the spirit of the word. That's why I start at the top sometime. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he came, where he himself would come. Therefore said he to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, excuse me, verse 2, therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You see that? There are wolves out there. They are evil. There's an evil bunch out there. God has a protocol for them, just like he has a loving, great protocol for the lambs. He said, carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. See, the Lord's going to take care of them. And into whatsoever city you enter, if they receive you, eat such things as I set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. But I say to you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. That's a statement and a half. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down the hill. He that heareth you heareth me. Watch this one. Verse 16. He that heareth you heareth me. He that despises you despises me. He that despises me despises him that sent me. And the 70 returned. Now watch this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. I love this part. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's over with. Verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I quote that if I get bit by something. it works to. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, now this is what I was getting to. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. See, people that have sincerity, God can work with. He'll show them things that others can't know. Can't know. He said, all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. Watch this. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. So, the Lord will give things to his people that other people, he can't tell them because they're not sincere like that. They don't have childlike faith. They're not babes. See, it's a blessing to be a, I'm not talking about lack of knowledge, babe. I'm talking about sincerity. See, when he said that part, he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. This is what I quote if I get bit by a wasp or something. One day the belt came off my riding lawnmower and it rolled down into my wife's Jeep. She had a Jeep in them days. And I felt something bite me on the stomach. So I immediately took authority over it. I said, I quoted that scripture, nothing shall by no means hurt me. I claimed immunity in Jesus' name. And then I got up to go get a wrench or whatever. I walked in the garage and I felt something bite me again. I lifted my shirt up. It was just an ant. I wiped it off. And I could feel both stings. One was near my navel. The other one was up towards my chest, but on my stomach. And then after about 5 or 6 minutes, I lifted my shirt to look at both areas. The first one now looked normal. I could feel it, but it looked normal. The second one, I didn't take authority over. It was red, and it turned into a bump. See, when I saw it was just an ant, I said, that's just an ant. But the venom, the same ant bit me, but the venom was potent the second time. Always take authority. I just threw that in there. Now, it's time now for people to know God. There are tares among the wheat. There are wolves among the sheep, not just goats. And it's time now for people, you know, now, you have to watch how the Word of God is written. You have to watch how the Word is not like everything's okay. Everybody that's named the name of Jesus is your brother. I want that to be true, just like every other guy, just like every other child of God, but I'm sad to say it's not. Listen to what Peter said. This is 1 Peter 4. He said, let's see, a good place to start. Verse 14, he said, let's go back to 12. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. But I read 13 again. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You know, the Spirit of God, he rests upon those that are like him. We need to always be like him. We always want the Holy Spirit to rest upon us. Okay, continuing. The Lord told me good things will happen when the Spirit of God can rest upon a whole assembly, a church. Especially when there's nobody there that's, you know, when everybody's on board. And he's resting on everybody there. He's resting on that body. Okay, let me read verse 14 again. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And when the Holy Spirit can rest upon the whole body, great things will always happen. And there'll be more glories to walk in, and God can do an established work on it. He can establish that work. And he can use people to their fullness. He said, verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now watch this. For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now watch verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know, pay attention to these kind of scriptures. You're doing God's will. Why would he have to say the judgment have to begin at the house of God? For the time has come that the judgment must begin at the house of God. Wait a minute now. The house of God is a place where everybody loves God. And there are nobody that don't love God. That's not true, is it? Just like to the pure, everybody's pure, but to those that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. Well, guess what? Tares go to church. We marry tares. You know, not me. I mean, people marry tares. Christian people marry tares. Tares marry Christians. Why do you think the rapture going to look the way it's going to look? Half the family gone, half the family left. Or one person out of a family of 10 is gone and the rest of them are still here. Tares. One parent loved God, the other one is a tare. What will the children be? You'll find out at the rapture how it's going to work out. But if people live a life that the Holy Spirit can rest upon them. See, the Holy Spirit is not going to rest on a person that has strife and doubt, unbelief. He can't rest on that. Now watch the other part of the wording. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? It didn't say that all the righteous are going to be saved. It says scarcely saved. I mean, there are people, they just barely making it. They're going to barely make it in. They almost didn't get raptured. Or if they died, they almost didn't go to heaven. But they did. And, I can only imagine how the Holy Spirit worked with people who are on the edge of hell. But I know God loves his people. If they can be saved, they will be. He won't let, if they can be saved, they're going to be saved. That's why it's very important to lift up our loved ones in prayer, encourage people, live the life of God. main thing, let the Holy Spirit live a life that he can rest upon you. That way you'll be effective enough to be effective. I mean, you'll be like the king if he would have shot 5 or 6 times. Some people living like they only shot the arrow once or twice, so to speak. Their dedication is low. They have some, good, thank God for that, but it's low. They're scarcely saved. We need to mount up and walk in those. If you see something available in the kingdom of God, you need to learn all you can about it. Why let people like A.A. Abrams and T.L. Lowry and Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin do all the work? We're supposed to be receiving the same healing gifts and transferring in our realm where they can't come. See, I can't, you know, my pastor's not going to, when I was working in Bessemer, he wasn't going to come to Bessemer. I go to Bessemer every day. He laid hands on us at church. He said, go lay hands on people. I did what he said. I laid hands on people. People got healed. That's how it works. I know people that these pastors don't go to. That's because we're a body. We're supposed to be doing this. One person don't supposed to be doing everything, and then we just stand around and say, man, that was an awesome move of God. And we could be doing the same thing. That don't make sense, do it. But if we live a life and invite the Holy Spirit to rest on us, how do you do that? Lord, help me do all this in your heart. Write him a blank check. Lord, here I am. Take my life. That's what Gloria Copeland said. Take my life and do something with it. That's how you do it. Now, I did the same thing for another reason. I didn't like my level of success. I felt like I should be further along at that point in my life. I didn't have the job I wanted. I wasn't married yet. Things weren't going like I thought it should. I was broke compared to how I wanted to be. I did have a car paid for, but